Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, I want to preach in your hearing the second coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, part 7. At this time, we are honoring God and giving glory to God and to Jesus Christ, and remembering their servant, Dr. Billy Graham, by preaching an adaptation of one of his powerful messages when he was here. We have no problem doing that because Dr. Graham preached the Word of God, and the Word of God is always timeless and on time. So stand with me as we read from the Holy Scriptures, Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. Bible reads, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them," of course Jesus didn't have to see the buildings of the temple, Jesus Christ He is God, and he's the one who gave them instructions on how to build everything. Anyway, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? My God, help us." They asked the right question. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. North Korea shall rise against South Korea and America. Iran will rise against America. Iran will rise against Israel, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Tomorrow we're going to see a day of rage, as the Palestinians and all of their supporters are going to go into a rage because President Trump has done the right thing and moved the embassy for America to the holy city of Jerusalem, the city of David, and the capital of Israel. And And we're so happy, by the way, for Brother John Hagee, who has worked so hard in supporting of Israel, to see this day. And we're so happy for him to be able to be there for that. But Jesus said, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and there shall be pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places." We have daily earthquakes going on right now in Africa, and earthquakes are popping up in the so-called Ring of Fire, and some people are expecting major volcano eruptions around the Ring of Fire, even in the United States, with rocks coming out of hell, 8 tons. 5 tons raining down upon the earth. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble. Lord, we don't like to acknowledge that. We don't like to say that because we're proud and we want to act like we can handle everything and anything, and the truth is we cannot without you. You created us and you made us, and we messed up. And because we messed up, we desperately need your help. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for giving us your help down through the years. We are flabbergasted and we are amazed at what you have done in spite of us. What kind of love is this that you have displayed not only to me but to this whole world? Lord, I don't understand it. I can't get my head around it. I'm not going to lie. Your love is so deep, is deeper than our sin. Your love is so deep, is beyond measure. And so I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your love, for your mercy and your grace. It's far beyond our little finite minds. Lord, I believe that we're going to find out one day that all of these things that we deal with on the surface here on earth, we're going to find out how infinitely deep they really were, and they really are. And so, suffice it for us to say today, for Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. I believe one of the psalmists said something along the lines, we don't even understand our secret faults and sins. And Lord, that is deep. That is terribly deep. And we all should go to hell and be trying to swim in the lake of fire that we're seeing in Hawaii right now. For those who did not believe there was a lake of fire, all they have to do is look at CNN and they will see a lake and a river of fire. That's far hotter than our little stoves that we burn our fingers on. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, excuse me, but I pray that you would scare the hell out of some people because they have hell in them and they don't fear you. They don't fear hell. But, Lord, help them to see hell coming out of the earth and help them to believe that there is a place called the lake of fire that they will spend eternity if they don't trust Christ as Savior and repent of their sins. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for salvation full and free. Help me to present it to others and to tell others about it. Give me your grace, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to do it as I'm not feeling that well. I pray that you would heal me in the process. And Lord, I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this time. And Lord, help me to start on time and help me to quit on time and save those souls that are nearest the lake of fire for eternity. Now, Lord, I know it's hard for us as human beings to believe it, but there are souls that are on the edge of hell. Open their blinded eyes today, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. And Lord, help your children, Christians, to get serious and repent of our evil deeds and ways. And Lord, we pray that your holy name would be glorified, Jesus Christ would be lifted up, for we pray it in his name, amen. You may be seated. And gentlemen, Jesus gave his disciples several signs that would indicate that the time of his second coming was near. As we look at our world today, Dr. Billy Graham said, it appears that these signs are playing out all around us. Can somebody say amen? These signs include revival of religion, not revival of the Christian faith. Dr. Billy Graham made that clear, but revival of religion or interest, a revival of the interest in religion. Wars and rumors of wars. This is way back when Dr. Billy Graham first preached this message now. Same now. Wars and rumors of wars. An increase in violence. And I want you, technician in the back, to run a story today on that particular subject, an increase in violence, just from the news today. And I'm not even talking about war. I'm not talking about war. I'm talking about people walking down the street and hauling off and knocking folk out. I'm talking about people having a brawl over in England about at a racetrack and knocking people out. And all kinds of violence that is taking place just today in the news. And I'm not even talking about warfare. And so I want you to do a montage, if you will, just from today and maybe yesterday, and show all the scenes and all the videos of the violence road rage. The Palestinians and all of their supporters have already stated that there's going to be a day of rage. They are announcing a day of rage. I thought rage was something that comes upon you, but they're already building up to it. They have it on the schedule, on the calendar, a day of rage, violence. Some people believe all hell is going to break loose tomorrow in the Middle East. because President Trump had the guts to go ahead and do what other presidents didn't have the guts to do, and that is move the U.S. Embassy to the true capital of Israel, Jerusalem. And this is so deep. Bless his heart, President Trump does not even know what he's doing, but he's doing something big. Violence and hatred. But it's not only in the streets, it's in the home. It's in the family. More and more we see men not only killing themselves, but killing their wives and their children. Just 2 days ago, a man in a rage because his girlfriend left him for another man, and he ran him down and ran into the car and tried to run him off the road and shot into the car trying to kill the man and fooled around and killed himself. Violence. A day of rage. Living in rage days. Paul talked about perilous times shall come. But not only violence, the thing that fuels violence is hatred. We got folk today, I don't know if this is a concerted effort or a conspiracy, but when black folk pop up, white folk are calling the police, saying that these creatures do not belong here. Now, black folk gonna have a barbecue. You know that. If they don't do anything else in the summer, they're gonna have a barbecue. Some good weather came along in Oakland, of all places, not too far from Berkeley, the liberal capital of the world. Some black folks just parked themselves at a park that's open for everybody to have a barbecue. A white lady just called the police. I don't know what she said on the phone. She probably said there are some Negroes out here with some pitchforks and some utensils that look very ominous and violent. She probably didn't see the hamburgers and hot dogs, but all she saw was that thing that they can stab somebody with, I guess. Police came and big old scene. Then the black folk came out the next day and did the electric slide on the folk. Now, listen to me. When black folk do the electric slide on you, that's the ultimate in protest. That's the ultimate in protest. There won't be any more problems in Oakland, I assure you, because the electric slide. What? When they do that on you, you're in trouble. They are past what you're talking about. Violence, fueled by hatred. White folks hating black folks. Black folks hating white folks. Black and white folks hating brown folks. And yellow folks. And Dr. Billy Graham, I said some of those things. I doubt if Dr. Billy Graham knew what the electric slide was, so back in his day. But anyway, Dr. Billy Graham said, ladies and gentlemen, from the Word of God, these signs include the revival of religion. not of the Christian faith, but interested in religion. Wars and rumors of wars, an increase in violence and hatred, and people living as they did in the days of Noah. When God said, my spirit will not always strive with man, and you best believe, if God destroyed that world, he's going to destroy this one. And everybody who does not repent and trust Christ as Savior will go the way of the world straight to hell, to the lake of fire, which you can see for yourself over in Hawaii. I don't care what nobody, I know that's a double negative, I don't care what nobody got to say about it. There's a lake of fire that you can see for yourself. A 100,000 times hotter than your little stove. And you will be in the lake of fire throughout eternity, suffering, because of your sins you repented, that you didn't repent of while you were in this life and didn't trust Christ as Savior. But another sign Dr. Billy Graham brought out in this passage. Another sign that Dr. Billy Graham brought out in this passage that Jesus gave is recorded in Matthew 24:14, where Jesus says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. Amen, somebody. Now, let me... And then shall the end come. Now, let me help you. The only man who preached, I believe, it may not have been all nations, but almost all nations. And on television and radio, all nations. The only somebody we know who has ever done that by the grace of God and still remain humble and honored by God and blessed by God was Billy Graham. What a blessing. To use my wife's terminology, nobody is trying to praise Billy Graham. We're not trying to praise or worship Billy Graham. We're giving God the glory for using a man to help fulfill this passage. A man who preached the gospel live. I believe they said to 200 million people face to face. Glory be to God. You know why? We thank God for Billy Graham because we know that only God could have done it, and he was a yielded vessel to be used by God. Another great evangelist, D.L. Moody, said, the world has not seen a man, what God can do with a man totally yielded to him. It could be said that Billy Graham was that man. He was dead before he died. What? See, you got to be dead. Y'all don't hear me, man. Before God can really use you, you've got to be dead, man. You're dead to the fanfare. You're dead to all the praise. You're dead to all the honorary doctorates. Means nothing to you. Yeah. And you get more of a thrill out of a good steak from a little hole-in-the-wall restaurant up in the hills and some pork and beans. Then you get out all of that fanfare and praise and all of it. You're dead. It's Billy Graham was that way. That didn't mean anything to him. He was not impressed with the crowds. He was concerned about their souls. And God used that yielded man for the glory of God. And that's why we say what we say, because we can almost reach out and touch Billy. He's not in the Bible, but he did what the Bible said do. Amen, somebody. And God can use you as well. That's what it says. Billy Graham's life says that God can use you, a regular human being, to do great things for the glory of God. Why don't you, if God has called you to do so, why don't you set out to go preach the gospel in every nation? Young man, go west, young man, go east, young man, go north, young man, go south, young man, go and proclaim the gospel. Billy Graham was a young man when he started. And if you're going to do that, you need to start right now. The gospel, ladies and gentlemen, today is being preached, Dr. Billy Graham said, for the first time in history to all the nations. And he was a big part of that, but he didn't bring any attention to himself. Big part of it. Because not only did he preach the gospel, he had other evangelists preaching the gospel, plus his whole team was proclaiming the gospel all around the world. Dr. Billy Graham said every nation in the world today can hear the gospel. Now, this is 20-some-odd years ago, 30, 40, I don't know how many years ago he preached his message. But that is definitely true today, because as I stand here before you, I am preaching live all around the world, plus on demand, with hundreds of messages that can be pulled up anywhere in the world, on a device hanging in midair in your hand. You can see me and you can hear me, live and on demand. In multiple languages around the world. And that's without radio and television. Just online. To a very targeted group of people. We have nearly 1,000 websites online that proclaim the gospel. Gospelite Society. It'll be over 1,000 this year. By the grace of God. In every country, almost every country of the world, and almost every major city of the world, we have a website right there, to use the words of an old-time preacher, germinating right up in there. They'll type in their country, they'll type in their city, and that site will come up, which proclaims the gospel. And I could be asleep while they're hearing the gospel. And Dr. Graham said nearly every tribe in the world is in the process of being reached with the gospel. Wycliffe translators are now in the process of translating the Bible in scores of languages and dialects all over the world. And technician, it would be good for us to look up what they have completed, so we can share it with the folks. They may have done it all already by now. And then Dr. Graham said, ladies and gentlemen, and they say that it is now possible that within the next 10 or 15 years, every language in the world will have a Bible. from which you can proclaim the gospel and people can read the gospel. Did you know that a person can read the book of John, the gospel of John, and get saved? Sure he can. Dr. Graham said, I received a letter recently from a man in Moscow. He wrote, I heard the hour of decision last night. I heard the hour of decision last night. And that's just one radio program. Thousands and thousands are listening to the gospel all over the world by radio and television for the first time in history. That's what Dr. Graham said many years ago. And then he said, Christian literature is being distributed around the world. Gospel tracts, as we call them. I prefer pamphlets. Gospel publications. Newspapers, digests, magazines, glory be to God, are being distributed around the world. Now we have websites that contain nothing but a clear presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in every way possible. Websites, blogs, many books proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Digital tracks. My baby daughter, who is the evangelist, if you will, a missionary in our family, one of them at least, sent out some gospel tracks. In fact, send out Billy Graham's gospel tract titled Peace with God on yesterday. And all of my children join in that, sending out of over 100,000 digital tracts at a time. We send out different tracts. Right now we're focusing on Dr. Billy Graham's tract. I know people who not only got saved from reading a gospel tract that they found or read or somebody gave to them, but was called to preach afterwards. I know two preachers like that. They got saved through a gospel tract. One found a gospel tract in the bathroom and read it and got saved and traveled all over the world preaching the gospel. Another one is a pastor. He was walking down the street. He's a black guy. Back in the 60s, early 70s, and a white man picked him up. Said, hey, you want a ride? Give him a ride to the store. And then he gave him one of Oliver B. Green's gospel tracts. He took that track home and read that track and fell under conviction, bowed down, and prayed and asked Jesus to come into his heart. He's never been the same since. He's one of my chief advisors right now. Has been for many years. 25 years or so. God used him to start churches. And you best believe he's passed out thousands, if not millions, of gospel tracts through the churches that he started. Because that's how he got saved. And then Dr. Billy Graham said, and the prediction of Christ that looked hopeless at that time, that looked hopeless just 100 years ago, is now reaching its fulfillment. The gospel is going all around the world as I speak. But coupled with this is another sign that Jesus also indicated would take place. Scripture calls it the great falling away. And this is such an important thing. powerful subject that it deserves its own segment of this series and sermon. And God is leading me to cut this sermon short because this is happening as I speak. We have a young preacher right now who is telling people that we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament Word of God. And this is a major example of the falling away that's taking place in our churches today. And so by the grace of God, I will continue to preach Dr. Billy Graham's message, The Second Coming of Christ, on next weekend. If the Lord says the same, if I am filling up to it, and I live by the grace of God, and I will deal with this subject very thoroughly with Dr. Billy Graham's message. And so, beloved, I believe these signs all point to the fact that Jesus will soon come one day. And the only way that you can escape the wrath of God that will fall on the world at that time is through Jesus Christ, by putting your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. If you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not ready for His second coming. And He can come in a rapture today. The only reason why God has not come back, if you will, or sent Jesus back, is because He is waiting on you to get saved from hell and saved to heaven. He doesn't want you to go to hell. That's the only reason why God has not sent Jesus back in the rapture and in the second coming. Allow me then to show you how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have broken God's laws, unfortunately. We all have sinned against Him in deep, deep, deep ways. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a sad place. Hell is rivers and lakes of fire, which you see coming out of the earth, I believe, in Hawaii today. Liquid fire. Forever. Dear friend, hell is bad news. Being thrown in molten fire forever is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ went through hell and went to hell for you and me. That's right. In the center of the earth, I do believe that Jesus Christ saw the molten fire at a distance when He went down to hell to the paradise side and pulled up all the saints and took them back to heaven with Him. Hell is a sad place. You don't want to go there. Jesus Christ went through hell so that you would not go to hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died, he suffered, he shed his blood on the cross, his pure blood. It is his pure blood bleeding from his body that provided salvation for you and for me. His blood had to be shed to save our wretched, ungodly souls from hell. This is very serious. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus Christ had to die as the Lamb of God for all the world, once and for all, for everybody. God died for you. God in the flesh died for you. He looked around and said, there's nobody who can die for these people. Everybody has sinned against me, but I love them, and so I will wrap myself in flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. And I will die for my creation. What kind of love is this? And I've been preaching this gospel for nearly 40 years, and I never get tired. I'm no ways tired. I may be sick. I may not feel as strong as I used to, but I'm no ways tired. What kind of love is this? That God, who created you, died for you. And yet you spurn your nose at God. You continue in your sin. You laugh and mock God. I'm amazed that he has not destroyed the whole earth with the wicked mockery of God and of Jesus Christ. But God so loved the world. I don't understand it, and you will never understand it either. Just believe it. We don't understand it all, but we believe it all. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, and he'll save you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you trust Christ in your heart today? He did a whole lot for you, and all he wants you to do is believe on him. And believe that he did what he did for you. He suffered, he bled, he shed his holy blood on the cross for your sins. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And all you have to do is believe in him and pray and ask him for mercy and to save your soul, and he will do it. And if he can save me, he can save you. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as the song is going right now, just as I am. Have mercy and grace upon me for Jesus Christ's sake, and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross as the Lamb of God for my sins, was buried, went to hell, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.